1, 2, 3, 4.
Welcome to Interceptor Beyond podcast. My name is Arthur, and today I talk to the Swiss rock band Heathers.
First of all, thanks to everybody who joined this podcast, and thank you, Arthur, for having us for this interview. It's well appreciated. My name is Mark. I'm the singer and guitarist from the band Heathers from Winterthur and Zurich.
Yeah. Meet Dominic. I'm the drummer of Heathers.
I'm Thorsten, and I'm bass player.
Quick reminder, don't forget to follow the show on Spotify or any other podcast platform that you prefer. And if you really dig the show, please consider donating a small amount. You can find the link in the show notes. Thanks. First of all, thank you very much for sending me the music video. Because this episode will come out on 9th of March. And as I understand, the video comes out on 11th of March, on Friday.
That's right.
Can we discuss it, a little bit?
Yeah, of course. It's actually a funny story.
I had a chance to see it before everybody else, and it's a really cool video. How did it all start?
Well, it all started because of the lockdown, because during the lockdown, we were not able to play live shows, and we just released an album right in the beginning of the lockdown. So we decided to make one more video for one song of our latest release. That release is called Grief, Roses, and Gasoline. And we decided to make a video for the song The Valley. Then Thorsten came with this idea. We could do it with an agency called Zweihund, which means like two dogs. Then we sat down with these guys, and they had a fantastic idea. So probably Dominic can talk further about the idea.
Yeah, the idea was just to stand in the video and do no moves. So just stand still and look into the air.
It's like an anti-performance.
Yeah. Super rock and roll.
Exactly.
And I think it's perfect for the lyrics as well.
Yeah, I mean, like the whole environment, it was a hotel. So we've been shooting the video in Egypt, in Hurghada, in a big hotel complex. And there were quite a few good spots to capture a few nice pictures.
Yeah. How long was the shoot?
For a week.
Yeah. Shooting was like...
Every day?
Yes.
It was like crazy.
From 6 in the morning every day.
Sometimes from 6 in the morning till 9 in the evening.
Yeah. There are a lot of locations.
Yes.
Special effects, let's say special effects. What I mean is the submarine.
Yeah, there are a few special effects, but I think it's a submarine and it's a dolphin.
Yeah.
Dolphins jumping out of the water.
How big was the team?
Oh, we were just 5 persons.
Yeah, only 5 people. It was like the producer team, including 2 people. It's Jonas and Mike, the 3 of us.
Yes.
And these guys, Zweihund, they organized everything? Did you have to do anything or just stand there as originally planned?
We just stood there, actually.
Basically, it was just about standing there and following them.
And we weren't allowed to talk.
Exactly. We were not allowed to talk. We were not allowed to move.
And not allowed to laugh.
Exactly. Except one time in the video,
Yeah, I know, because I make music videos myself, so I can imagine how it's like.
Okay.
Did anyone get sunburned?
Yes.
Like all of us. It was like hot as fuck. It was like each day it was like 40 degrees in the heating sun. And yeah, we had to protect ourselves with towels and
plenty of sunscreen.
Yeah.
Everything was white.
Exactly. Yeah.
And what was the hardest scene to shoot?
Egypt, probably.
Probably Little Egypt, because it was hot as crazy. Really. Like it was in the middle of the afternoon.
And in the desert.
And in the desert, in the middle of the desert.
Super hot.
Yeah, that was like...
There is a scene you don't see because there was a broken boat and it was horrible to catch a scene, but it was not possible.
to control the boat, it was like, how do you say in English?
It was out of order, it was broken.
Yeah, right.
was not so stable.
He couldn't turn left and right, actually.
All right.
One side and then...
Or just accepted that you broke a boat.
It was broken before. We didn't break it.
That's what was said to the staff.
How did the staff actually react to all this? Were they prepared?
Kind of. So
we had some license for filming. It is super important in Egypt. Also, the police came sometimes and stopped us.
Do you have some behind-the-scenes footage?
Without the police, unfortunately. No, it was organized by Zweihund, by this agency, and they had contacted the travel agency who booked this whole trip to Egypt. And he kind of asked for permission to shoot the video over there. And he asked also for a local contact. But when he arrived three days earlier before the shooting started, he came to the hotel manager and he asked for this guy. And this guy was fired like 10 days earlier. So nobody actually knew that we are coming to shoot this video. So he had to sort it out like from scratch once again.
But we just always said the manager knows about it. And then most of the time it was okay. Yeah.
Yeah, no. In the end, like the staff was very lovely and supportive, so they also helped us with a few scenes. They sometimes also joined us as a background actor.
Yeah.
There were local people somewhere in the middle and in the end, also in talking, also in a local language, right?
No, it wasn't a local language. It was a guy from Poland.
Ah, all right.
And so.
Yeah, because of this, it was hard to understand where the location was, because it could be like Croatia or something like this, because the mix of all the people of everything, you know. So it's it gives extra, I don't know, like it's interesting, you know.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if you look at the architecture in this environment, then you can see that it must be somewhere oriental. Of course.
Yeah, but it's a classic problem when somebody negotiates a deal with somebody and that somebody is not there. That's just the classic story of music videos and in general, entertainment industry.
Yeah, happened before.
But it worked actually. So.
Yeah, in the end it worked out. So we are very happy with the result. And yeah, so looking forward to release it on the 11th of March. And,
is it a specific day? That you decided it? Like, why 11th of March?
No, it's not for a specific reason. It's just because we will be playing a few shows. Finally, after the lockdown, we'll be playing a few shows in Switzerland, also a show in Luxembourg, Germany. We thought we will release it with the announcement of the tour.
Yeah, it's going to be in March, right?
First shows are in March.
Did you manage to tour recently a lot or like last year?
We had a few concerts, but not really a tour.
So yeah.
We played in Berlin and in Switzerland, actually, but not much.
Yeah, not much. It was also very hard for our booker because... he's been booking stuff, then he had to cancel the whole tour again because of another lockdown. Then he had to move the dates again and stuff like that. So it was very hard to plan a tour like lately. And
it's still hard actually because everything is booked already and postponed. So they can't do new shows.
Yeah.
So this is really hard at the moment.
So you don't do your own booking, you have a booker.
Yeah, we've got a booker based in Berlin who's taking care of Europe. And we also have a booking agency in Switzerland for Swiss shows only.
So I guess you're on the next level because many people, like bands, like want to get to the level when they don't need to book all the shows themselves. You have the agency to do this or two agencies or something.
Yeah, but I must add that we also book shows by ourselves. I mean, still. It's also like still, yeah. Sometimes we also know like the bookers from a venue and... they became friends over the years, and then it's easier to make a call like, hey, how is it going? We would like to play again. Do you have an open slot? Then like sending our booker to this guy, and then there is somebody in between. So yeah, it's both. Like, but most of the shows are coming from the booking agency.
And how's you're my first band from Switzerland on this show. How's the scene, the rock music scene at your location?
In this town where we live or in this county?
Start with the town, if there is a difference, you know.
Yeah, we've got a very good rock scene over here. We've got plenty of bands. We also have like projects where we try to support each other, to create synergies within the scene. Like, where should I start? I mean, we've got like the four main venues in a winter tour, which is the Gaswerk, which is focused on rock music only. And we've got the Salzhaus, Kraftfeld, and the Albani, who are booking like every kind of music. We also have a two-week-long festival called Musikfestwochen in Winterthur, where like most of the concerts are for free, so everybody can come. And we also...
What are you reading there?
We just made some notes to mention everybody we want to mention in our scene. No, we also organize our band's own festival in Winterthur. It's called Noisefest. We try to invite young bands, support like young artists.
Like, let's stop a little bit on the Noisefest. I saw that you have a lot of cool bands. I checked them out, you know, because I saw it on Facebook. And it's mostly local people, right?
Yeah, like most of the bands were from Switzerland. We also invited two bands from Germany. One band is called Zahn and the other band is called 24/7 Diva Heaven. They're also on the same label called Noisolution. And yeah, we tried to invite like friends, bands we've met on tour, we had a great time with.
Is it this fest where you have Monkey 3 also?
Yes.
Yeah, they headlined at the last show.
Yeah, that's a cool fest. The lineup is really cool. You mentioned like Noisolution, right? It's your label. When did you get signed to this label?
Back in 2015.
So you're like already like in the system for a long time. You have a booking agent, you have a label. Dream come true, almost.
Yeah, we found the first label in 2011. We released our debut album on this label called Headstrong. And then we changed to Noisolution, like for three albums.
And I read that the label is not dictating the music, right? They just help you with the promotion. Like, can you just tell the people what they do for you? What's the point of the label for you in your case?
Yeah, in our case, we write the songs by ourselves. We produce it by ourselves. Finally, the label will get the master. Of course, before we plan a release, we have meetings together. We will show a few demo versions of the songs so they can get a picture of what's coming up. Yeah, then afterwards, their job is to make promotion for the whole stuff, which includes like print media, online media, and the radio, and the distribution, digital and physical. So which means they produce the vinyl and CDs, and they deliver the music to all the streaming platforms and the MP3 download platforms.
So basically, you just need to make the music and relax, and they do the rest.
Not really.
Not a true story. Not a true story. No, it means like we are working very hard. Like every one of us is really working hard in this project. So that's why it's running well at the moment. If you don't work hard as an artist by yourself, it's going to be hard. I think it's an utopia to think you will get a label release and the label then will manage everything for you. There are also very many things to manage as well, beside like promotion and distribution stuff.
Do you do your own social media?
Yeah.
So you have TikTok.
We also have TikTok, yeah. Since a few months, we joined TikTok.
Yeah, but it's going pretty well. I mean, you're slowly experimenting with it. I'm asking about TikTok because I'm telling bands that they should be on TikTok, even though most of them don't like it. I don't like it. Of course, I don't want to be there. Nobody wants to be there. But because how it works for now, it's just a chance for now while it's still fresh, so that it like something can go viral, like in the old school days when videos would get viral. When it's not so much controlled by algorithm.
Yeah, and it's also like people are moving away from Facebook more often, and it sometimes really feels like Facebook is the new MySpace, who is slowly dying.
It's also a generation thing, I guess.
Yeah, on the other hand, like the audience on TikTok is growing. Mm-hmm. I also noticed that lots of US bands, and not only US bands, but quite a lot of bands joined TikTok, also the labels. Yeah, I mean, it's also a good tool to reach people. It's for free. You can do promotion by yourself. You know, you can also like decide how you want to present yourself to the audience and stuff like that. So
let's continue with the local scene. I see that you still have stuff on the list. Let's mention more. What else is going on there?
Yeah, the three of us are also part of a project which is called Flexi Recording Session. Mm-hmm. So I try to explain it in a few sentences. It's like we invite five bands or four bands. We mix them up in four new formations.
Mm-hmm.
This happens on a Friday evening. So the day after, on Saturday, they got one day to write a song. And then the day after, they must enter the studio and they will get only 2 hours to record this song.
Mm-hmm.
So in the end, this will be pressed on a flexi disc, which is like a flexible disc.
You mean like flexible vinyl or flexible
disc?
Yeah,
it's called flexi disc. It's a It's a format they used back in the days to add to like music magazines and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's a vinyl on soft material that you can like bend a little bit. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
7-inch format.
7-inch format. So you have the machine, you have everything. You have it's a studio, right?
No, like the story goes further. So we don't only invite the bands, we also invite like labels from Winterthur. We invite music producers, artists who are responsible for the artwork, radio stations, also clubs. So
and how often do you do this?
Every second year.
Yes.
Ah, all right. So and how many people are there for bands? I mean,
how many bands? So we just finished the third edition.
Uh-huh.
We had a release party at Kraftfeld in Winterthur.
And how many copies did you make?
250. Yeah.
And how much does how many songs are there on 7-inch? A couple, like four songs.
Yeah,
four songs. So like on each side, you've got 6 minutes.
All right.
So everybody must write a song that is less than 3 minutes.
And Mark and Domi recorded it in a recording studio where Mark works.
Yeah. So like the last edition has been recorded by Dominic and me. We also mixed the four tracks. We also mastered the four tracks. Thorsten made the artwork for the second edition. He's now responsible finding like a new artist for the next edition.
Also local artists. This is really important.
This is more for people for local, right? For the people in the area.
This is like for the local music scene and art scenes, like to connect the people, like the bands with the radio station, with the clubs, with the producers.
Yeah, so it's a creative project for everybody to participate, and in the end you get the product.
It's a good network.
It's a networking event as well. So like they get to know each other, probably they will start new projects that happen also.
And people can buy this Flexidix online, right? Where?
It's on the label's website, The Yelling Light. But basically, we sell them at the release show, and we also split the leftovers of the flexidis to the band, so they can bring those flexis on their next tour and sell it.
And how is it funded? It's all own initiative.
Yeah, it's funded by a few sponsors. There's like the like an alternative restaurant called Vito in Winterthur. They gave a little money. Then the tattoo shop where Thorsten is working is called Freibeuter Tattoo. Then also the local music shop called Backstage Music contributed a few Swiss francs to this project. Yeah, otherwise it's funded by the money that comes in with the release show.
So in the end there's also like a gig, like a release show.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, there's a release show, there's a gig in one location in Winterthur.
And when is the next release show?
Yeah, the next project will be in next year.
Aha! Uh-huh. So the previous project happened recently.
Exactly. Yeah, it just ended last year.
All right. Any funny stories
from that night?
Yeah.
I was at home with my kid. I couldn't come.
That's reality.
Yes.
The whole project actually almost fall apart because two bands couldn't play that night.
Yeah, actually, it's not a funny story. It's because so funny. Of Corona, it was very hard to manage the release show and to make it happen, you know, in the end. And but yeah, we did it in the end, like with half of the bands. Didn't came out that well as we expected, but hopefully this whole COVID thing will be better next year.
How is it with COVID at the moment in Switzerland?
It's getting better.
We have no COVID anymore.
The cases are going down, so it looks good, actually.
So the shows are, that's why you have the upcoming shows.
Yeah, we can do these shows.
We don't have to use masks anymore.
Yeah, like the restrictions are not as hard as they were anymore. Yeah. You can also go to a supermarket and buy stuff without a mask at the moment. The only thing that stays is like wearing masks in public transportation.
Any plans to add more shows if everything going well, you know, like spontaneously? Or maybe going outside of the country and...
Yeah, we plan actually to play some shows in the US next year. This is two newcomer festivals. One is called New Colossus Festival and the other one is South by Southwest. So we have an agency in LA which helps us to get these slots, and we try to plan this as the big goal of 2023 in March. And so actually we also want to play some shows in Europe before, when it's possible with COVID then.
Yeah, I was just interviewing a band from London and they were telling me about their experience playing at South by Southwest. In their case, it was everything's fine. I mean, the episode is not yet released. The episode will come out next week, I think. But they said, what did they say? They said everything was fine. But in their case, they put their show somewhere outside and it was really hard to get there for them. And they said, if it's so hard for them, it's so hard for all the fans. So, but in the end, it all worked out. Everything was fine. So I wish it works out for you.
Thank you.
Yeah. That's exactly why we are working with an agency, and we try to plan this carefully, also with a few radio promotion campaigns coming up within the next whole year, like with a time gap of approximately 4 months. So there will be three radio promotion campaigns as well as online media. We try this. We hope that this will help us finding a good spot at the festival, and hopefully not outside, hopefully in the middle.
I saw that you are working right now on the new material. You were at the studio, what was it, 48? What's the name of the studio, like recently?
Studio 45.
45, yeah. So it's like a new material?
Yes, we recorded three new songs. I don't know if you heard it already.
No, I haven't sent him the link. No, I haven't.
Oh, all right. No,
it's not yet released.
It's too much new information for me, you know? Like, let me be like most of the fans. Otherwise, you're going to put me under pressure like to review them, you know?
Yeah. We turned the studio. It's the studio of a German producer, Kurt Abelhäuser. He also played in a band that me personally like a lot, called Blackmail. Yeah, he also produced many great albums. Some of them are my favorites. Like one is called The Royal Ganner from Union Youth. And we just thought that we will go over and record three songs to see how it works.
Yeah, I checked out the studio. There are like many cool bands were there and worked with him. How did you get in touch with this? How did you find this person and this studio? Is it personal connections or you were looking for somebody?
Thorsten.
Yeah, I recorded back in the days one 7-inch and two albums with him, and he's a friend of mine as well. And so it fits together because Mark's favorite album was recorded there, and maybe we have the same humor and we have a similar wavelength.
It came out very well, so we're very happy with the result. We also decided to record the whole album later this year with him. So we will join the studio again in November to finish some more tracks.
These three songs are from the new album, or is it completely different stuff? And we need to mention that this studio is in Germany.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's in Koblenz, yeah. It's in Germany.
close to Cologne.
So I see, like, most of the time, it's all based, in your case, on personal connections. And most of it are Torstens.
Yeah, I don't know. We are all from the DIY scene, and you know how it works. It's also friendship, and it's nice to work with friends together and set something nice up.
Exactly.
This is going to be your fourth album of the band, not like the new album.
It's the fifth.
I missed one. How does the new material is different from, for example, from the previous album, Grief, Roses, and Gasoline?
Ooh, tough question. The main difference is that the last album we produced it like completely by ourselves. So we recorded it in our studio.
We did the editings.
Yeah, we did the editings. And yeah, it was like tons of work for us. And this time we decided to work with a producer so we can more focus on the music and on our performance on the recording.
This is what you actually hear, because everything sounds really fresh, because we are in the studio and they're doing just some little changes and then we record it. And this is not possible actually when we do everything by ourselves.
You have more energy to actually create and not to bother of actually with the production of.
Yeah, yes. It's also when you do it by yourself, then probably play a take, then you have to run to the computer. Then there is a technical issue, then you have to solve this issue, then you're completely out of the mood of playing the song, and then yeah.
What about the feel of the music? Is it, because I read somewhere in interview that the last album, the Gasoline album, this one was more personal for Mark, I'm not sure. It's like more to bring out the inner stuff. And what about the new material? How is it in comparison to that album?
I think the music hasn't changed like big time, you know. It's like the concept is almost the same. It's like writing songs about life, about love, about also sometimes like political stuff that bothers. It's like I always say, it's like basically it's about love, but there are like always two sides. So you always have the bright side and the dark side. So we are like singing still about both sides.
You know, I read. I think you have it somewhere in your biography somewhere that the first album was too polished. Then the second album and the third were more rough. Okay, the second was more rough, and then the third one was a mix. And then number four, their Gasoline one. That's what I wrote in my notes. Is back to the first album, like a little bit more polished. So how is the new material different from that? Is it also like polished, or is it going to the raw stuff?
A little bit dirtier, I think, again.
Yeah,
probably. Not that polished.
Yeah.
I read that the problem with the first album was that it was so polished that when you played live, people did not expect, they were expecting one thing and you got, and they were getting another thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. So we had like much more energy on stage than on the album, even though the album was well produced. And I don't even think that it's like too polished, but it's like really well produced. You know, it's like we had a big team producing this album. We took lots of time to work it out also in details. You know, the second time we just wanted to play it live. So basically on Brainwash, we recorded the whole album in a live session. We did not add too many overdubs and or too many backing vocals or like keys or horns or whatever. It was just like we wanted to keep it simple. On the third one, we also worked with a producer from England. So the second one we recorded by ourselves, and the third one we also recorded with a producer. So that was like another influence also in the way of producing the album. And now on the Grief, Roses, and Gasoline album, we decided to put more energy in the production again. And just because we wanted, because we were like, okay, we want to find out how it sounds if you add like keys, or if you add horns, if you add like tons of backing vocals and a few more guitar tracks and stuff like that. And
so I guess the listeners should expect something completely different, or just a bit. How different is it?
I think it's really close to the live energy.
Yeah, I think it's like
when we had the rehearsal yesterday, I thought it's more connected to the album, live, the live performance and the album.
I think Kurt Ebelhäuser is doing a very good job, and it really sounds like a trio on this. It's not like an orchestra playing. The last album was more an orchestra, and this time it's more like a trio, but it sounds fat, you know, it's like, it sounds huge. And
so it's fuzzier, maybe.
Yeah, maybe kind of be a Sebado style or something, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if you listen to a few of Kurt Ebelhäuser's productions, then probably you might get a taste of how it sounds like.
The production process changed with each album, right? And with this one, it's also different.
Yeah, it's also different. I mean, it's also like, it also depends on how much money do you have to produce an album. That was also a reason why we produced the second album completely by our own. Like to save money because we didn't have a lot.
So the plan now is to go on tour, right, and record the material later this year.
Yes,
that's the plan exactly.
Have you tried live streaming? I read somewhere that in the beginning of the pandemic you did some live streams.
Yeah, we did one show which we streamed live, actually with all the songs from Grief, Roses, and Gasoline.
Yeah.
It was you made it yourself, or was it like from a TV channel or something, or you decided to do it on YouTube or Twitch on your own?
Yeah, it was DIY.
Yeah, it was completely DIY. We also made a few streaming concerts at radio shows.
I don't remember if I asked this question. How do you get signed? So in your case, how did you get picked up by a record label?
Well, first of all, I think you have to play as much as you can. So you have to become a good live band, you have to...
How do you get the first shows?
The first shows?
Yeah, what I mean is like many young bands that I talk to, for them, in the beginning, it's a struggle to get a response from promoters and venues.
Yeah, sometimes when you begin, you should not think too much about like only playing venues. You can also play birthday parties of your friends, you know. You can also play in school or... You can play wherever you want. You can also ask your favorite bar if you can bring your gear and play for free, you know. And like, first of all, you have to organize a lot by yourselves.
What was in your case? Do you remember your first shows? I mean, it doesn't have to be with Heather's band in general.
My very first show I played, like, I was 13 and it was in school.
My first was in a garden party we set up to have a concert. So we had a venue.
I actually don't remember which was my first show. I always played concerts since I was 8 years old. I played in this child orchestra. So this kind of stuff.
Okay, okay.
And then I played a lot of shows, but didn't have to organize it because this was organized by this orchestra. When we formed the band, I actually don't remember what was the first show.
So I guess it's just... with this band, it's like everything kind of happened organically, you know. I don't think you were like on purpose looking for a label, sending out demos, or did you?
No, like the first record deal we got because we played a show in the French-speaking part of Switzerland. Then it was like the classic story. The label manager was in the audience. He thought we were a good band. And then we met, and then the first label deal came in like this.
Are you planning to do more music videos for the new material?
Yeah, at the moment we are planning new videos for the next album. Try to gather ideas how we should do it and which song it should be and stuff like that. So of course there will be like two or three music videos for the next release as well.
But it's also important that you can get some money again, because we couldn't play much and finance everything is hard.
Have you ever tried the crowdfunding?
Yeah, we did a crowdfunding campaign like with the second album.
And how was it? I mean, I guess it was successful.
It was successful, yeah. It really covered the cost for the second album.
And what did you what did you learn, like the most important thing from that campaign?
Yeah, first of all, we were very thankful that we have such great fans who are supporting us financial wise. Of course, it was a lot of work to organize this campaign, because you also have then to prepare goodies, you have to prepare like different packages, different sizes of packages. Therefore, like you have to offer a little more or a little less depending on the package. And yeah, that included like organizing shows, playing living rooms of contributors. And
So you even had like these tiers where you have to play a live show with the fans or what was it?
Yeah, it was like there were like different packages. The most expensive package was like around 800 Swiss francs, and like the cheapest was around like 20. Yeah, it was like if you buy a package for 20 Swiss francs, you will get the MP3s for free.
Yeah, but what about the most expensive ones? What do they get for the most expensive? Do you remember?
Not remember exactly, but I just know it was a show in their living room.
Yeah, that's what I mean. You know, this is something like extreme.
Yeah.
To have a show, usually with a crowdfunding, you have these packages, and one of the most expensive ones are like t-shirts, the bundle, t-shirts, vinyls, everything together. But to play a show is a bit different thing. Did you actually manage to play a show? You have to?
Yeah, we played those shows, of course.
So somebody paid at 800 Swiss francs.
Yes.
Was it on Kickstarter?
No, it wasn't on Kickstarter. It was a Swiss-based crowdfunding platform. It's called We Make It.
Ah, yes, I know it.
Yeah.
I was talking to a French band, and they had their own platform called something like this. I don't know.
Yeah.
Everybody's using their local platform. Yeah, it doesn't matter actually which platform, as long as that you get the money from the fans, contributors, donations.
But it's also a mirror. You see how much people like you and your band.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's awesome. You give a lot, and you, without expectations, you get a lot back.
Are you planning, or have you done, like, for example, Thurston, you have a tattoo, like you work as a tattooer, or what is it? You mentioned tattoos.
Yes, I work as a tattooer, and I also do illustrations.
Yeah, have you tried to combine that with the band, like for the merch?
No, not now.
Yeah, we wanted once to do live tattooing after the show, yes. But then we dismissed the idea.
It would be cool.
But I have a portable tattoo machine, and I can use it while they sleep drunk.
Did you have stories like that during the tour with this machine?
Yeah, I have his name here on my butt.
How was your tours actually? You know, for example, last year, what was the craziest tour you had together?
In my case, it was my first show in the radio. I was super nervous, and you can hear everything if you play.
Yeah.
But it was awesome.
Yeah, also like the show in Berlin that we
yes,
played.
Yeah,
We played the Lido, that's in the Kreuzberg district in Berlin, and we played with our buddies 24/7 Diva Heaven. It was like new restrictions came up. Like only half of the people, or only half of the capacity of the venue is allowed to enter and stuff like that. So that was quite tricky. We also had to fly to Germany without knowing if we are like positive or negative tested. So first we had to fly over, then make the tests, then wait if everybody's negative. And yeah, there was a kind of a bit stressful, but in the end we had a nice show and a very good evening. So
yeah, I saw the photos. I haven't seen. I'm not sure if there are videos, but I saw the photos from the gig in Berlin in Lido. It looked really cool and was funny because in the crowd I can see people from other bands that I know.
Yeah, I know. Me too.
Yeah, there were. Like, yeah.
But for me it was like whoa! I know these people.
Who was there?
There was a band, some members from the band Lobster Bomb.
Yeah.
Great band. Cool band. And somebody else I don't remember. Okay. But Lobster Bomb deserves a shout out.
It was a nice concert.
It was a nice concert, yeah.
And later it was a nice
after show
label
party. Label after show party, because lots of bands that are also on the same label on Noise Illusion came to the show, and when they threw us out of the backstage, we all went over to the bar of one guy from the band Vok. Yeah, we had a really nice after show party over there. So that was very nice.
Any funny stories that you can tell?
It wasn't that funny. It was only nice.
One person called us three that I have a new haircut, that I have long hair. It was super strange. I don't know how to explain it.
Okay. No, it was a very nice evening. Like we connected with new bands.
It was nice to meet a couple of bands on this label.
It was the first time you met these bands, or it's like, you know, some, I mean, you should probably know some bands local on this label.
In my case, it was the first time. I've been also on this label back in the days. But
yeah, with a former band, Bubonix.
Yeah, I've been there also with two releases. And it was nice to see all the new bands and new generations and talk to them. And
are they completely different? You said generations, you know, so you probably look at them differently.
I was there on maybe 2007 or 2008, and it's a bit different now.
And what's the difference? Too many TikTokers?
Yes, no.
No, I guess the bands have changed on the roster of the label, of course. There are also a few newcomer bands now on that label, which is great to see. You know, it's like still growing.
Do you have some stuff more on the list that we need to mention and then as a topic on your list that you have now?
Do you know the band Peacocks?
Not sure.
It's an international rockabilly band.
And what's
band.
The story with them? Did you play
it's
with them?
Maybe the famous rock band here in our town, also Howlong Wolf. And the Peacocks, they lent us their band bus.
Exactly. So because we don't own our own van,
yes,
we can also have their van. No, just, do you know another band from Winterthur?
No, please tell me.
No, okay. You should definitely check out The Death of a Cheerleader. It's where Domi and I met.
Uh-huh.
I used to play guitar live shows with Death of a Cheerleader. And it's also a band where Domi is playing still.
Yes.
And of course, you should check out Rue de Cascade if you like experimental rock music.
He produced it.
Exactly. I'm also working as a music producer in the band studio. So sometimes I also record bands.
So you basically, on the list, you wrote everybody who helped you or with whom you worked or who helped or you helped, right?
No.
No, every band we like. There are many people in these bands, they're friends as well.
Just dropping a few names from the scene.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I asked you that you should mention it like in my email, so you came prepared. Well, you're my first Swiss band. You're the first band that there are three people for the interview and the one that has a list of names. And I guess the local, the Austrian, because I'm recording from Austria, the local promoters and bookers can contact all those people for the show.
Of course, yeah, of course, they should. Sure. Highly recommend
it. Is it okay if they contact you for a recommendation or something like this?
Yeah, of course.
Of course, because on our release tour that went straight down the drain because of Corona, we would have played in Vienna as well at the Flux, as well as a few other shows in Austria. So hopefully we can come over to Austria next year to play a few more shows. That would be very nice.
Or maybe earlier. If everything goes so well that maybe you have space to make a detour and go to Austria.
Yeah, it would be nice.
Yeah, I've never been to Vienna.
No?
No.
No, me neither.
We definitely should.
all right. So I saw on Facebook that, okay, so that gig never happened. I saw that you have, sucks, balls. Yeah, you should come.
It's on our list. It's on our bucket list.
But where can people follow the Hathers band? Where should they check you out? Do you have a specific website?
Yeah, they can join us on www.hathers.info. This is our website. And of course, they can join us on Instagram. Our Instagram name is called Hathers Official. And of course, on TikTok now, our username is called Hathers Noise. And if you're still on Facebook, you can also join us on Hathers Noise. is the user of Facebook. Of course, you should join us on Spotify, Bandcamp, SoundCloud, Tidal, whatever.
Whatever, yes.
Or buy our records on Bandcamp.
Exactly.
Yes. And also you have really cool merch.
Thank you very much.
You have cool designs. You have designs on t-shirts, visually. I think that's how I discovered your band. I discover most of the bands these days on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
And I see how professional they are in a visual presentation. And if they're like cool looking, it means that maybe they're serious also about the music. You know, if they're serious about the visuals, maybe the music is also good. And that's how I discovered you. Most probably, I don't remember, but
nice.
What are we listening at the end of the episode?
Yeah, the question is more, should it be one song from our band or should it be like in general?
It can be anything.
Yeah, I think we would like to play a song from Mark Lanegan.
Yes.
He just died.
That's a good decision.
Which is terrible news and yeah.
Which song?
Good question. I'd say Hit the City.
Maybe actually we can put two songs, his first and then second yours.
Yeah, then I would recommend we play The Valley. Because our video clip will be coming out soon.
All right. In honor of Mark Lanegan, we're going to play his song and then we're going to play your song.
Please. Thank you.
Cool.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. It's my show. I can do whatever I want. All right, guys. Thank you very much for this interview.
Hey, thank you for having us. It was a pleasure to talk to you.
Heathers. In the valley down here, there's a dead end town. It's a little bit red. Thank you for listening to Interceptor Beyond podcast. Don't forget to follow the show wherever you listen to podcasts, and if you like what you're hearing, rate the show on Spotify or any other podcast platform that you prefer.